Today's shiur is beginning at the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis Maseches Bofa Basra. In the previous shiur, we had made reference to Rav Huna and Rav Huna Bre Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna being somewhat restrictive in his allowing competition. He mentioned that two people of the same Mavui, if one opened an original enterprise, the fellow who's a neighbor of the same Mavui cannot open competition of that particular trade. Rav Huna Bre Rav Yeshua, on the other hand, was of the opinion that two people of the same Mavui have equal rights, and therefore, if a second fellow of the same Mavui wants to open up competition, he's allowed to. At this point in the Gemara, we're noticing the volcano geometric form. What do these represent? So we'll look at our note on the outside margin. The word moidei, the beis mikrim, Shechitois Dili'el Moidim Sha'alocha Yeshoneh. The two Shitas we just mentioned, with that they have their opinions on the matter of competition. There are some cases that each one will concede his point given different circumstances. Let's take a look at what those circumstances are. Omar Rav Yosef Umoidi Rav Huna B'mikri dardiki, delo motzi ma'akev. Rav Huna, who was restrictive in his allowance of competition, he concedes that if it's a matter of elementary education, teaching children Torah, then you cannot object to having competition open. We'll take a look at the Rashi, Umoide Rav Huna. Diomar Liel Bar Mavua de Uki Rechaya Vechule de Isle Kerub Shimon Liel. We saw that Rav Huna agreed with Rav Shimon Liel, who said that even of members of the same Mavui, a second fellow cannot open competition. Moidi Hu Bemukri Dardiki de Lo Motzi Maakev Le Bar Mavua Milalame Gamhu Hatinoikis. However, if someone of the Mavui wants to open up a second elementary school where they'll learn Torah, he is allowed. Shemitoch kach izharu b'mnosan shigiru ze mize. When we allow for competition, what happens? People become very careful about how they operate their services. So if fellow one opened up an educational facility and fellow two comes and opens up his, so Mr. One is going to try to make his all the better because he knows he has competition. The Omar Mor, Kinas Soifrim Tarbe Chochma. Based on this principle that the jealousy formed, the sense of competition formed in the case of Torah study, actually increases Torah wisdom. And that's what the Gemara says now. The Omar Mor. Kinas Soifrim Tarbe Chochma. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Umoide Rav Huna Bre Rav Yeshua, that this Shita Rav Huna Bre Rav Yeshua, even though he held a member of an outside town cannot come in to this town and compete. This was part of Rav Huna Bre Rav Yeshua's section under the Pshita heading, if you want to look back at Chof Aleph Amud Beis. With the advantage we have with the markings, we can cite this by telling you to look at Aleph point 1, where he said, Bar Masa Abar Masa Achriti Motzi Ma'akev, that even though Rav Huna Bre Rav Yeshua is somewhat liberal in his competition allowances, not so far as a member of an outside community coming in to compete. So even though he had his point of restriction concerning outside members of outside communities coming in to compete, he will concede this, concede his stand in the following case. Beruchlin hamachzirin vayorois. These are traveling salesmen. What are they selling, though? They're selling women's makeup. The lo motzi ma'akev. Why not? The Omar Mor, Ezra Tikein Lohen Yisrael, Shiyu Roichlin Machzirin Bayorois, that these merchants are allowed to travel from city to city, Kadeshu Tachshitin Mitsuyin Livnois Yisrael, so that all kinds of cosmetics and other ornaments that increase the beauty of women should be available to them. After having seen the Takonas Ezra featured in this brisa, the Gemara goes on to qualify what we just said. In other words, we just created an impression that in the realm of women's cosmetics, outsiders can come in and sell as well, and it's not considered against our laws of competition. However, Vahani Mili, when is it that this is mutter? La'aduri. That's to be on the move. However, la'kbuye lo. But for an outsider to come in and open a shop and set up a permanent presence in a different town, that's not allowed. V'i tsurbo merabonan hu. And if the fellow who's involved with this trade happens to be a person that invests a lot of time in Torah study, to earn an income, so he sells cosmetics, but his primary occupation is Torah study. Afilu lagbuye nami. We have a special provision, a special allowance for him, that if he's from a different town, he comes here, he's able to open up a permanent location. Kiha de Rava shora lehu l'Rav Yoshia u'l'Rav Ovadia lagbuye de lo kihilchosa. Rava allowed these two gentlemen, Rav Yoshia and Rav Ovadia, to set up a permanent presence in a different town. The expression de lo kihilchosa means not according to letter of the law, but lifnin mishuras hadin. As we said, letter of the law is that you cannot come, even if it's a matter of selling cosmetics, you cannot come in and set up a permanent presence. However, when it comes to Talmidei Chachomim, the law is bent. Of course, we're not playing legal games here, but that's part of the construction of this particular law, that for scholars, a special allowance is made. My taima, why is that? Why is it that we don't tell the scholars, just like the regular vendor, if he wants to come to another town, must stay on the move? So you too stay on the move. Answer: Kevon de Rabbonin Inu, since they're Torah scholars, osu litardu migirsayu, insisting that they be on the move all the time will disturb their learning. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a geometric form, and that draws our attention to the Hemshich of the Daf, the continuation of the Daf Gemara. You'll notice several of these shapes. What do they represent? So we'll take a look at the side, the outside margin, the Mivneh. Maisim shel socharim shebo mi bachutz kedei lischor kan. These are incidents, stories of vendors that came from outside to market their material here. Dovar shebederech klal osur. That's generally speaking, outside of cosmetics, it's not allowed to come from one community, come from far away, come from an outside town into this town. We also have a double underline with the dots in it. This also draws our attention. We see this repeating itself a couple of times. It's underlining the expression, Osu b'nei maso k'ma'akvi olayhu, that the people of the town come and try to prevent them. So let's see the stories in the Gemara. Hano dikuloi, they're vendors of baskets, basket salesmen. The Aisu dikloi lebovel. They brought their baskets to Bovel. Osu b'nei maso koma akvi olayu. Members of the town came and tried to prevent them. Osu l'kamei de Ravina. They came to Ravina, Omar lehu. Ravina provided the following allowance. He said, "Me alma osu ula alma lizvenu." They came from outside. Let them sell to outsiders that are over here. Every town has its residents, and in every town there are also people that are circulating in the community, but they're not residents. So let them sell to those people. Vehani mili biyoyim deshuka, and even that's qualified. That'll be allowed on market day. Ava below yoyim deshuka loy, but on an ordinary day, not allowed. Well, biyoyim deshuka nami lo amrina na lezvuni bishuka, and as far as on market day itself, it's not an open allowance to sell all over town. No, you're restricted to the market area as an outsider. Avoladuri b'masolo, but to circulate in the city, these outsiders would not be allowed, even though it's market day. Another story. Hano amoroi. Amoroi with an iron are wool vendors. Mochrei tzemer. The Aisu Amro lefum nahara. They brought their wool to this town, Pum Nahara. Osu b'nei maso komak v'olayu. Osu l'kamei de Rav Kahana. So these salesmen came to Rav Kahana. Omar lehu. Dinahu d'ma'ak v'olayhu. Rav Kahana said, I can't help you out. The people of this town have a right to prevent you. You're an outsider. Omrulei. They told him, however, islon ashroi b'masa. We have debts in this town to collect. We've come to collect our debts. And as such, until we get our debts, we need parnosa on which to live. We need some income in order to pay for the food, pay for lodging, until we are able to collect our debts. Omar lehu, zilu zavnu shiur chiyu saichu. Go ahead, sell an amount of wool in order to maintain yourselves. Ad de akrisu ashroi, until you collect your debts, ditru, your debts, vazlisu, and then leave. Another story. Now, this story is very long. You can see with the long marking, we've noted a maisa, a long story, and it goes all the way down, clear down to the Mishnah. A very dramatic story. Ravdimi Nahardo, I see groigrois besfina. He brought figs, dried figs, in a boat. So he's coming from an outside place to town, to here. Omar le Reish Galusa l'Rova. The Reish Galusa, the head of the community, of the Bovel Jewish community, said to Rova, Pok chazi itzur b'rabonenhu nokit le shuka. Go check out. If he is a tzur b'rabon, if he's a scholar, so then we will hold up the market for him, namely, we'll announce that the regular vendors should not sell their grogros, except for him. Special provision. You can see how the Chachmei HaTalmud, the Talmud, are very interested in making sure that Torah scholars are able to learn with a certain amount, certain degree of comfort, financial comfort, that they have their income, and when they finish dealing with their income needs, they get back to their Torah learning. Torah learning, let's not make any mistake about it, is the heart and soul, not only of the Jewish people, but of the entire world as well. There's a drosha that you find in the Shas, Vayhi Erev Vayiboker Yom Hashishi, that the word Hashishi, unlike the others, Yom Revi'i, Yom Hamishi, it says Hashishi, that this is the sixth day. And the Gemara darshans that creation was dependent on the 6th of Sivan, the day the Torah was given, but the Torah was given quite a few thousands of years after initial creation. So, what's the connection? The answer is that the entire cosmos was dependent upon the acceptance of the Torah. If the Torah would not have been accepted by the Jewish people, the world would have been turned into its original state of tohu vavohu. So with that in mind, it's quite understandable how we try to take as much care of Talmidei Chachamim as possible, because they, in effect, are doing the world the ultimate service of maintaining it. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Lei Rava L'Rav Ada Bar Abba. Rava had received instructions from the Reish Galusa to check out this person, Rav Dimi Minahardo, find out what level of learning he's on. Rava, in turn, turned to Rav Ada Bar Abba and said to him, Pok Tohi Lei Bekan Kane. Literally, it would mean go check out his barrel. It's a borrowed idea, meaning from wine testing, you would sniff the aroma to see the quality of the wine. So for our purposes, is tohi lei bekan kane, is check him out. Nofak ozal. So Rav Ado Bar Abba went. As the story unfolds, it's important to maintain the names in your mind. We've got Rav Dimi, we have Rava, we have Rav Ada Bar Abba, and Rav Ada Bar Abba now is on his mission to check out Rav Dimi Minahardo. And how do you check someone out? Don't necessarily ask him for his report card or his diploma. Ask him a question in learning. Bo Mine, he asks the following. The topic that this question deals with is the topic of Tumas Kalim. Kalim are generally items that, dependent on the material, are makabel tuma. For example, metal vessels, wooden vessels, are items that are makabel tuma. However, earthenware vessels, they have certain restrictions in how they're makabel tuma. We saw that in a previous gemara. From the outside, they're not makabel tuma. From things from within their airspace, they are makabel tuma. Then you have types of vessels made of certain materials that aren't makabel tuma at all. And one is a mud vessel would not makabel tuma, as opposed to cheres, there's something called clay adoma. And also another type of vessel that maybe isn't so common in our midst, but it's vessels that are made of cow dung. Dung material. Those are not makabel tuma. Here is the question. Pil shebola kfifa mitzris, an elephant that swallowed a basket made of reed material. Vihikia derech beis hori'i, and the basket traveled through the elephant's digestive system and came out its posterior end complete. So you have a basket that traveled through the entire system of the animal and came out, mahu. How do you view this? Do you view it as something that's legally digested, and as such it takes on the characteristics of glolim, glolim being the feces, the dung, and therefore not makabel tuma, or maybe not. We view it in its original form. Lo havi biyodei. As far as our Gemara is concerned, this is the important point. Rav Dimi didn't know the answer. Omar Lei, Rav Dimi asked this gentleman, bear in mind they didn't have rabbi cards or videos, pictures of the different scholars, so they were coming from a different town, they saw a gentleman, they knew who approximately lived in these communities. Some were more well-known than others. So Rav Dimi, coming to this particular community, knew that Rova was located. Rova was a very famous rabbinic figure. So he asks him, Rav Dimi asks, Mor Nihu Rova? Are you Rova? So Rav Ada responded in a somewhat offhanded fashion. Tofach le besandale. Literally, he hit his shoe. Maybe he gave him some kind of little shoe gesture. Omale, and Rav Ada says after making this offhanded gesture, like tapping his shoe, he said, "Bein didi le Rava ika tuva." Between me and Rava, there's a very great gap. In other words, Rava is far greater than I am. Miu al korchoch. However, by virtue of these circumstances, ano raboch, I'm going to have to be considered your Rav. Ve'rava rabo de raboch. And Rava is the Rav of your Rav. Namely, Rava is my Rav. Well, as a result of this, he couldn't be classified as a Tzurba Merabonan and couldn't benefit from what the Reish Gelusa had offered, that is to hold up the market for his benefit. So lo noktu le shuka. Posted grogros today. His grogros went bad. They didn't hold up the market for him, and he had to store these grogros. In the meantime, they went bad. Also le kamed Rav Yosef. Rav Dimi brought his case to Rav Yosef, who in effect was a Rebbe of Rava and Abaye. He preceded them. He was their instructor. Omale, Rav Dimi said, Chozi mor mai avduli. Look what they did to me. Omale, Rav Yosef felt a sense of compassion. And one might very well assume that even though he didn't know the answer to this particular question, that did not detract from his greatness in Torah learning. And it seems that Rav Yosef felt that he was wronged. And he says, Man de lo shaye lo nisa de malka di Edom, he who did not withhold, unisa, it would be taking vengeance for the suffering of the king of Edom, lo nishaye lo nisaich, he will not delay taking action, taking judgment for the tsar, for the oino, for the troubles that you received. Dichtiv, koyamar Hashem al shlosha pishe moyov v'al bo'o lo ashivenu al sorfoi atzmois melech edoim lasid. Moav had burnt the bones of the king of Edom, and the posuk is saying that Kodesh Baruch Hu will not let that go by. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will take the vengeance that of the Melech Edom upon carry out his vengeance on Moav. So, as a result of this, Noch Nafshe D'Rav Ada Bar Abba. So Rav Ada Bar Abba, who was directly responsible for the decision, for the conclusion that Rav Dimi was not at Tzurba Rabbanan, so he died. The story goes on. We see a series of triangles with a dashed underline following them. The triangles, you can see, are a series of names. The dashed underline is an expression, ano anishte, that I am the one that's really responsible for Rav Ada's death. And the note on the side says, we have the ano anishte quote, kol echad yis'oinein al moisoi shel Rav Ada bar Abba shebo al yodoi. But each one seems to be is not just taking responsibility, but bemoaning the fact that he is the one responsible for Rav Ada's death. Why are they bemoaning this? Why is it so terrible, so to speak? So we'll take a look at the Tosfos. Ano anishte, kol echad mehem hoya misoinen, she'al yodo meis Rav Ada. Each one was bemoaning the fact, or the perceived fact, that they, each one of the rabbis you see in the triangles, they were responsible for his death. What's so terrible? Mishum damrinon b'shabbos perek shoyel. Kol mi shechaveru ne'nash al yodoi ein machnisin oisoi b'mechitzasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. that if someone is in some way responsible for the death of someone else, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want to see them in his precinct up in Shamayim. Shenemar gam onoish latzadik loitoiv. This is actually a pasuk that's quoted in the beginning of Maseches Brochas as well, where, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi didn't want to be responsible for the problems that there were that the fellows in his community were creating for him. So we say that gam onosh latzadik loitoiv ela ra. It's bad if a tzaddik is responsible for someone else's downfall. Uksiv lo yegurcha ra. That there won't dwell in amongst Hashem, in Hashem's area, that which is classified as Ra. In fact, the Gemara takes David HaMelech to task that and when he was on the run, he received support from the Nov Ir HaKohanim, and as a result of the Kohanim of Nov supporting David, Shaul HaMelech got wind of it and had Doeg HaAdomi wipe out the city of Nov, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to David in a certain sense, pointing a finger, hey, you caused their death. It's a very, very harsh judgment. When what do you would say? Well, what do you want? He was on the run. They supported. He had to eat something. What do you want? Ella, we are developing a very, very refined sense of compassion, if you will. It's very hard to define these things. They're on a very high level, but we are saying that if someone is in any way associated with the next guy's downfall, even if it seems to be, you seem to be onus about it, you didn't have any intentions for it even, but nevertheless, the next guy suffered as a result of you, and that is negative. So what is that? What does it mean for us practically speaking? It's to try to be several steps ahead of the game, to think as far ahead as possible, not to do things on the spur of the moment, not to act in a quick fashion, but to think deeply. That's what the Torah demands of us. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Yosef Omar, Ano Anishte, De Ano Lataise, I'm responsible for Rav Ado's death because I'm the one that mentioned the curse before. Rav Dimi Minaharda Omar Ano Anishte, the Afsid Grogros Didi. Let's not forget, Rav Dimi is the one that lost here, and it's as a result of his loss of his fig. So he went and complained. He suffered, so to speak, and the blame was cast upon Rav Ado Bar Abba. So he feels that he's responsible. Abaye Omar Ano Anishte. Now we didn't see Abaye in the story at all. Here we're going to see some more Rabbonan taking responsibility, but by virtue of information we haven't seen, and the Gemara will reveal to us why they're taking this responsibility. So Abaye feels he's responsible. How is that? The Omar Luhu the Rabbonan Rav Ado, he's the gentleman that died. He used to say to the students, to Abaye's students, the ones who used to learn by Abaye, and he used to say to them the following. What we see in the Gemara, we're then going to turn to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Gershom to understand it. He said to the students of Abaye, Ad magramisu garmi bei Abaye, that instead of, you could say, like chewing on bones, grinding bones or chewing on bones, as we might use such an expression. Su, go, achlu bisra shmeina beirava. Why not eat good quality meat? Bisra shmeina, good quality meat by Rava. Instead of chewing on bones, You can have steak. Learn by Rava. So Rav Ado used to, I don't know if we'll use the term insult or criticize the derech of learning that Abaye used to share with his students. And as a result of Abaye's choice in his derech of learning, so as you can see, that it caused Rav Ado to criticize it. And as a result of that, so Rav Ado, the Gemara here feels that that's what caused Rav Ado's death. But what was Rav Ado's cheshbon? What was he criticizing? So first we'll take a look at the Rashi. The Omar Luhu, the Rabbonan. Rav Ado used to tell the students, Ade magrimisu garmi be'abaye shoyarogil loymar le'talmidim ad she'atem hoyuchim etzo abaye le'garem atzomois klomar lumoid shaloy le'soiva. Where you go there and learn not achieving satisfaction in your learning. Su achli v'chli bo v'limdu halochas tzuhuvos meruvachos etzel rava. Learn clear, broad halochas by rava. Let's, at the same time, let us look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. He's across from here. We have it noted in our Shas Ozir edition. Ade magrimisu garmi be'abaye. Shoyarogi lomer letalmidei abaye. Kol zman she'atem megardin atzomois. All the while that you're scraping bones, she'ein bohen lichluach, that have no wetness to them. They're like dry bones. Be'abaye, in the Abaye's yeshiva. You can learn Torah properly by Rava. Abaye lo limeid kol kach. Abaye didn't cover much. He didn't. Apparently, he dwelt on points a long time. Didn't cover ground, or maybe there are other explanations for this expression of lo limeid kol kach. Ulefikach Omer Abaye anu anishtei shohaya mevizeni. That it's I'm somewhat responsible for his death, because he used to insult me. In as we just saw. Continuing in the Gemara, veRava Omer anu anishtei, dechi ave ozil lebeit abcha the mishkal umtza. When Rav Ada would go to the butcher shop to purchase meat. Omar Luhula Tabchi, Rav Ada would tell the butchers, Ano Shakilno Bisra Mikami Shame de Rava, that you serve me first, before the Shliach of Rava. Rava apparently would send Shluchim, it said servants, emissaries to the butcher shop. So there was a line, let's imagine. So Rav Ada would say, serve me first. De ano adif no mine. So I'm more significant than Rava's emissary. But you could, in this type of attitude, there's also some kind of slighting to Rava, and hence he was called to task. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar ano anishte. You can note from the markings that we have that this will be the longest section of Rabbonon taking responsibility, because there is a story that goes along with it. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar Anon, Yishtei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Reish Kalo Havei. He used to give public lectures on Shabbos, halacha lectures to the public. Kol Yoimo Mekame Deneo LeKalo. Every day that he would offer these lectures, Marhit Bahadei. Every day that he would give these lectures, before the lectures, that's mikami deneu lekale, before he would go into the lecture hall, marhit bahadei rav ado bar abo l'shmaitze, he would go over, he would run together with, run it through, with rav ado, he would go over the approaching shir, he would go over it with rav ado. V'hoder ayo lekale, and then he would go in and deliver the lecture. Hahu Yoma, Naktua, Rav Popa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, the Rav Ado bar Abba, on this day, the day that ultimately he died, on that day, these two rabbis, Rav Popa and Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, held him up. Why did they hold him up? Mishum de lohavu besyuma. They we're not at the end of the shir, so they wanted to hear from Rav Ada what the end of the shir was about. Amrulei, they asked of Rav Ada, Eimo lon hani shmeitza de meiser behema hechi amrinu Rava. Tell us what Rava said about meiser behema. So they took advantage of the fact that Rav Ada bar Abba knew Rava's opinions on meiser behema, so they held him. Now, what does it mean they held him up? Rav Ada was on his way to go over the shir with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, the shir that Rav Nachman wanted to give publicly. Anyway, Omar Lahu, Rav Ada told them, Rav Popa and Rav Huna b'Rivishua, Ochi Amar Rava, Ochi Amar Rava, he told them, thusly said Rava, this and that. Anyway, Ada Hochi, Nogale, the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, but in the meantime, he was delayed at getting to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, and as a result, Rav Nachman Yitzchok didn't have a chance to go over his shir beforehand. Omulei Rabbonan, Rav Nachman Yitzchok. The people waiting for the shir got a little bit uneasy. They saw there was some kind of delay, and they said, Kum, denogalan, get up. Let's get started. It's getting late. Let's get started with the shir. In the meantime, Rav Nachman Yitzchok was hoping he'd have a chance to go run through the shir beforehand. And he was being delayed. Lomo Yosef Mar, they go on asking him, why are you still sitting here? Why are you still tarrying? Omar Lahu, Yasivna Vika Natra Le'arse Derav Ada Bar Abba. I'm waiting for his coffin. I guess Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok calculated that the only thing that could possibly keep him from coming to run through the shir is his death. Adahochi nofa kola denoch nafshe derav ada bar Abba. And in the meantime, an announcement came forth that in fact he died. And the Gemara comments, umistabra derav Nachman bar Yitzchok anshe, that he really is the one responsible for Rav Ada's death. The Mishnah. Before we go on with the Mishnah, let's just take a look at the topic heading on the outside margin. Haboina koiso b'chatzero, tzorach l'harchiko mikoiso chavero. One who is interested in building a wall, he has to distance it from his neighbor's wall. Mi shehoya koisloi somuch l'koiso chavero. Lo yismuch loi koisel acher. Elim kein hirchik mimenu arba amos. Here we're going to translate the Mishnah according to what it says, literal translation. And based on that, the Gemara is going to raise some difficulties. The opening of the Mishnah said that one who has a wall next to his friend's wall. So how many walls are there? There are two so far. The Mishnah goes on to say, lo yismach lo koisel acher. He shouldn't put up a third wall. Elohim Kane, Hirchik Mimenu Abbas, unless he keeps a 4 amma distance. That's what it said. We'll wait for the Gemara to analyze that opening. Hachaboinois. One neighbor has a house facing a chotzer, and the other neighbor wants to put up a wall opposite the house, the windows of the other fellow. Bain mi lamalon, bain mi lamaton, bain kinegdon, arba amois. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Veha chaloinois. Mi shehoyu lo chaloinois psuchim lechotzer chavero. Vehuchsik bedover ze shaloshonim. In other words, my windows were opening up onto your chotzer. And it was like this for 3 years. That would appear then that the owner of the chutzner didn't mind having these windows open onto his property, and the owner of the house would enjoy all the light coming in through the uh, through from the outside through these windows? Ubol bala chotzer livnoi shom koisel. One fine day, after this situation has been taking place, has been existing for 3 years, afterwards the owner of the chotzer wants to put up a wall. Tzorech l'sha'er dalet amos. There has to be a gap maintained of 4 amos. Bein mi lemalon. In bol lahagbia, yagbia koisloi dalet amos min achalonas. If he's interested in having a wall that rises above the height of the windows, so then he must make sure that the height of the wall exceeds the height of the windows by 4 amas. Rashi goes on, Bein milamaton im bol livnoisoi namuch, if he wants to have a low wall, Tzorech lahashpilo min achalonos 4 amos, the top of the wall must be 4 amas lower than the level of the windows. The time of Meforish b'Gemara. The Gemara itself begins. V'kamo hechi samich. What about the first wall? Meaning, as we read the Mishnah, we had original wall, then we had first wall of neighbor, and then second wall of that same neighbor. But how did the neighbor, when he put up his wall, his first of the two walls, how did he put it up close? Before we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a bow tie form. These are two approaches to explain the Reisha of the Mishnah. Because as far as the Reisha of the Mishnah was concerned, you had an original wall, and then you had the neighbor put up his first wall, the neighbor's first wall, right up along the original wall. As it says at the opening Mishnah, Mishoya Koisel Samuch Lo Koisel Chavero, how can that be? And the only restriction that the Mishnah is telling us is about that third wall. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Yehuda, Hachi Ka'omar. Thusly, we should understand the Mishnah. Hence, we have it in a frame, as the Shas Ozer treats Tanaic sources that are reread, redone, as if they're actual sources. Hence, we put them in frames. Habo Lismoich. One who comes initially to place a parallel wall, lo yismoich ela im kein irchik mimenu 4 amos. He's not allowed to put up his parallel wall unless he keeps it at a distance of 4 amos from the first wall that was ever there. That's Rav Yehuda's reading of the Mishnah. The way we explain the Mishnah is based on the Rashi at the top line, Abol Lismoch Mitchila Koisel Eitzel Koisel Chavero. Rava, as is characteristic of Rava many, many places in Shas, he attacks this approach based on the fact that that's not what it says. Rava very often likes to look at the text and say he doesn't like answers that veer off of the text too much. Maskifla Rava Vaha Mi shahoya koisloi samuch lekoisel chavero katani. The case of the Mishnah is describing where there was already a parallel wall. It's not talking about the initial building of that parallel wall. The Mishnah is talking about a third wall. Elo amarova, hochi katani. Once again, you see a framed section of Gemara. This is Rava's understanding of the meaning of the Mishnah. Hence, we're treating it as a Tanaic source. Mi shehoya koisloi somuch lekoisel chavero berichuk 4 amos. Whereas he's not changing any of the words, he's adding words. And for Rava, that's legitimate. He's saying that there was a parallel wall. The neighbor had erected a parallel wall. However, he kept it at a distance, at a legitimate distance of 4 amas, the nofal, and that wall fell down. Lo yismach lo yikoysel acher, Elohim kein hirchik mimenu dalet amas. When he wants to rebuild the wall, in effect make a new wall, he must maintain that distance of 4 amas. My taima. Answer, the davsha the hocha mali lahasam. To appreciate this, there's a diagram that accompanies the Gemara 336, a diagram found in the Pirush Chai, book of illustrations that accompanies Maseches Bava Basra, that in our shiurim we are making constant reference to, authored by Rav Chaim Porush. What is this? What is the davsha? It's the trampling of the ground at the base of the wall is beneficial for strengthening its foundation. We'll take a look at the Rashi, the upper part of the page. Rashi, davsha dehocha mali losa, mashe doshin beregel, bein shnei aksolim tamid. The trampling of the people that would take place between the two walls. Moyel lishnei haksolim lahakshoyis karkoyis yisaidis haksolim velo yamutu. It helps to strengthen the foundation of the wall so that they don't fall down. You notice that as the Gemara goes on, there's a section in brackets. What's the purpose of the brackets? So we'll take a look at the inside margin. There's an asterisk. And it says, Acharei ha-sograyim, ha-gemora makshe kushyot al hatam shel davsha. After the brackets, the Gemara will raise questions on this whole concept of davsha. Besoich ha-sograyim, ha-gemora mevio deos shebemikrim misuyamim efshur lusmoch koiso. Within the brackets, the Gemara will bring circumstances where you don't have to concern yourself with davsha. Okay, with that having been said, we'll read the Gemara straight, just trying to remember that after the bracketed section, the Gemara will start with questions on the concept of davsha. Omar Rav, loy shanu, that you require distancing, ela koisel gina. If the wall in question is a wall that encloses a gina, what's the nature of a gina? The inside the gina, people don't walk around. It's people. The farmer will plant his plants, and that's it. He doesn't travel around there because it'll damage the crops. So what is going to strengthen the base of the gina wall? For that, you need this davsha. You need the trampling on the outside of the wall. So if someone wants to build a parallel wall next to a gina wall, he better distance it so to allow room for people to walk between the two. Avol koisel chotzer im balismoich seimech. However, if the original wall was a wall enclosing a chotzer, people walk around in their chotzer. So as far as the concern of the strength of the foundation of this kind of wall, it's taken care of by the trampling on the other side of it. So that if the second wall that's going to be erected is going to be erected close to the chotzer wall, nothing lost. Continuing, Rav Hoshaya Omer, Echad Koisel Gina, Fi Echad Koisel Chotzer, Imbo Lismoich, Einoi Soimeich. He says that even if it's a Koisel Chotzer, you cannot be Soimeich. Omer Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, Velo Pligi, let it be known, there's no controversy between Rav and Rav Hoshaya. Ha Be'ir Yeshana. It's an old community. The community's been up for years. That's where Rav's din applies. That in the case of the chotzer of a community has been up for years, it's experienced its davsha already from inside. Ha be'ir chadosha. Rav Hoshaya, that's restrictive, is talking about a case of a new community where people haven't lived in that chotzer yet. They haven't trampled it yet. So in order for it to gain its strength, you're going to have to leave room on the outside of the wall so that the public will be able to walk in that area, strengthening its foundation. Tnan. We can note the explanation on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. These triangles are Kushyois al Davsho Ketam Laharchoka. The Gemara is going to question, is Davsho really a reason for maintaining distance? The source begins, a quote from our Mishnah, Tanan, Hachaloinois, Bein Milamalon, Bein Milamaton, Bein Mikenegdon, Arba Amois, Vitoni Alo. And there's a brisa that explains the Mishnah point by point. Milamalon, the reason for the wall that's going to be built opposite the house, and the height of the wall, if it's going to be taller than the windows, it must exceed the windows by 4 amas. Kedei shelo yotzitz v'yireh, so that the fellow shouldn't jump on top of the wall and peek into the house. Milamaton shelo yamoid v'yireh, and you must, if you're interested in building a low wall, it must be 4 amas lower than the windows, so that that would exceed the height of a person, so that he wouldn't be able to stand on top of the wall and peek into the windows. Umi kenegdon, and this is what's of importance to us in our sukya, shelo yafil, must maintain a distance of 4 amas away. We're talking about a horizontal distance away from the house, so as to not cause darkness. Maintain a reasonable light level. Now, what's the reason for maintaining a distance as far as this source is concerned? The reason is a consideration of light level. Shelo yafil. Taimol, the Gemara points out, shelo yafil. Avo mishum davsho lo. Doesn't seem to be a matter of concern of davsho. So that's a question on on the opening of the Gemara here, under Rava, who possibly he's the one that offered the explanation of Davsha. The Gemara says, Hocha b'mayaskinon bebo min hatzad. To appreciate this, you might glance at the illustration 345. We're not talking about a parallel wall. We're talking about a wall that is to be built perpendicular to the windows. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Min hatzad, she'ein ha-koisel ho-acher mehalech le'orech koisel rishon. The second wall is not constructed alongside, parallel to the first wall. Elo min hatzad hu bo. Im zeh mi-mizrach le-marav, zeh bo mitzof in le-dorom. If one is running east-west, the other one is going to be running north-south. V'roish uvyoi keneged hachaloin umafil. The thickness of the wall, the perpendicular wall, it is positioned opposite the window, and as a result of that, causing darkness. Dochaleko lemechash ledavsho da'u purta. That little space that the wall occupies that would be blocking it from the first wall with the windows in it, that small area where there won't be davsha doesn't create any problem as far as structural concerns. The only concern in this case, therefore, is the light concern. The Gemara asks, Ve kamo, the brisa that we saw that mentioned kedei shelo yafil, it said, how much is that dimension of shelo yafil? Notice, arba amos was not mentioned in that particular brisa. It just was a descriptive distance. Omar Rav Yeva Chamua de Ashian Bar Natboch, Mishmei de Rav. So Rav Yeva says, Kimlo Rochav Chalon. Whatever the width of the chalon is, that distance, that amount, the perpendicular wall must be set apart, set back from the window. The Gemara asks, V'halo Meitzitz, since it's so close to the window, can he not peer in? You just told me that the distance is actually a very small distance from the window itself. So Rashi points out, Valo Meitzitz Kiva de Somuchu Afapishu Magbio, even if it's, my understanding is, more than 4 amas, since you have it positioned very close to the window, there's still a possibility of Yochel Lahatzitz. So how do you prevent that? Let's not confuse this Gemara with the Gemara before, where we had all kinds of provisions to stop the peering, the looking. That was talking about a parallel wall, and then we had a 4 amah distance there. Here, we're dealing with a different type of wall, different direction, namely, it's perpendicular, and we also have a different distance, namely, Kadesh Lo Yafil. So, how do you solve the peering problem? Omer Rav Zvid, Bimiradeid Es Koisloi. Illustration 348 would illustrate that. The Kosel, this wall is slanting. The edge of the wall is an incline, or a decline, if you will, and it wouldn't be possible to stand on it. Question: V'ho anan tnan arba amos? But we have been taught that the distance that must be kept is one of 4 amos. That the Mishnah said. Lo kashya. Kan miruach achas, kan mishtei ruchos. When does the distance of melo roichav hachalon apply? That's if you're dealing with a singular wall. There's one wall. Kan mishtei ruchos. If you take a look at illustration 352, the shtei ruchos means it's coming from there are two walls that are on either side of the window. How could we describe the problem posed by the two walls? Unless they're two walls, there would be a greater effect on the light level. So in such a case, melo rochav hachalon would not be enough to distance them. Toshma. We're continuing to evaluate this consideration of davsha. Is that a reason for maintaining a distance? V'es ha-koisel min ha-mazcheilo dalet amos kedei shiye zoykeif es ha-sulam. Illustration 358 describes this, where you see a house with a drain gutter running along the roof. We're telling the neighbor, if he's interested in building a wall in the chotzer that's near this drain, he had better keep the wall at a distance of 4 amas. What is the reason for that? The Mishnah says, "Kedei she'zokef es ha'sulam," so that the house owner will have the opportunity to set a ladder up, the top of which leaning against the drain, and you need an angle to allow the ladder to support the person climbing up it. If it can't be vertical, so you need some angle level. So in order to allow for that angle, the neighbor would have to distance his wall 4 amas, so that in the space between the wall and the roof, he could set up a ladder. What do we see from this? Mora goes on. Taimo mishum sulam. The whole reason for distancing the wall is to allow for the ladder to be placed there. Avo mishum davshalo. The source doesn't mention anything about keeping a 4 amah distance for the sake of davsha, of trampling the area to strengthen the foundation of the walls. So the Gemara says there's a good reason for this case not to mention davsha. Hocha b'mayaskinon b'mazchela meshuparas. Illustration 356 shows this. We're talking about a drain that's connected to a sloping roof, where the edge of the roof is actually extends beyond the building. Since the edge of the roof extends beyond the building, the Gemara comments, the imishum davshahu, as far as the davsha concern, ha ka ozil v'osi to say, there's anyway room to walk under that roof extension, thereby strengthening the wall of the house. And the neighbor's wall wouldn't have to be kept at any distance if davsha was your concern, because the wall could be built only as far as the edge of the roof is concerned. But from the edge of the roof to the house, there's anyway space in this case. Ah, and even in that case, the Mishnah that we just quoted tells us you still have to keep the wall 4 amos away from the edge of this sloping overhanging roof in order to allow for the house owner to put his ladder alongside the drain. The Mishnah. Marchikin es hasula min ha-shoivoch 4 amos kedei shelo tikpoitz ha-nemiyah. There's a fine illustration, 357, that illustrates why the sulam of one neighbor must be moved 4 amas away from the other neighbor's bird coop. That reason being to prevent a nemia creature, it's a carnivorous creature that enjoys feasting on birds. V.S. Hakoisum in Amaschelo Dalan Amos Kadeshe Zoikef Es Hasulam. This is a point we just finished discussing, that the ladder, the distance between a wall that's being constructed must be 4 amas to allow for the homeowner to put his ladder to get to his drain. The opening of the Mishnah mentioned the distancing of a ladder from a bird coop, because if I place my ladder within the 4 amos of the bird coop, damage result to the bird coop through the nemia jumping on the ladder. It's not as if I'm hurting his birds in any direct form. It's only that through my positioning of the ladder, it could cause damage through an outside source. That's called grumma benezikin, causing, as opposed to direct. The topic heading that we've noted on the outside of our margin, Harchoka Sulam Mishova Chavero, Gam Lefi Reb Yosi, Mishum Shegroma Benezikin Oser. We're going to take a look more onto this topic as we go on in the Gemara, but by way of introduction, one might note immediately that you can have a situation of something being forbidden, but if one violates it, he's not necessarily going to be penalized financially. Osir, but not chayev. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Lemo masnisin, particularly the point of the sulam and the shovach, the lo k'Rab Yosi, the Rab Yosi ha'omar, but if this would be like Rab Yosi, but we know his position as follows: Ze choifer besoch shelo, veze notea besoch shelo. Everyone does in his property what he wants to do. In other words, Rabbi Yossi doesn't seem to be the likely candidate to be too concerned about what might be caused from my property to the next one's property. Of course, Rabbi Yossi made his comment regarding my ability to plant a tree on my property at a time that you have a pit on your property, even though eventually the root system's going to ruin the bor, It doesn't matter to Rabbi Yossi. You do in your property what you want to do, and he does in his property what he wants to do. Mor says, no. Afilu temo Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah can agree with Rabbi Yossi. Ho Omar Ravashi. Ki havinon be Rav Kahana have Omar. When I was studying in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, he used to say, Moide Rabbi Yossi begiri di day. That Rabbi Yossi agrees that when it comes to koyach ha'odom, literally, this phrase means Rabbi Yossi admits with regard to one shooting his arrows. He won't allow me to stand on my property, shoot arrows into the next property, and get away with it. He's moda when there's koyach ha'odom involved. How do we explain this in our terms, in terms of our case? Gemara goes on. Hochanami zimnin de bahadi de monach le koftza. Could be that while I'm placing down the ladder, that as I'm holding the ladder and placing it down, the creature jumps from the ladder that I'm holding and consumes the neighbor's birds. Let's take a look at Rashi. Starting with the Rashi, Begiri Delay. Bechitzim haboim lo miyad gufoi shabal habayas mamash. I think that the word gufo deserves the emphasis that we've given it in our dashed underline. Arrows that are cast forth from the body of this person, namely, he is casting forth the arrows, he's held responsible. Continuing in the Rashi, de bahadi de monachle, ba'oid sha'oiches besulam, that while the fellow with the ladder is holding the ladder, koftza, the nemiya jumps. Why did I emphasize the gufo shalodam? Because here too, you have an element of gufo shel adam. He's holding the ladder. It's not as if he placed the ladder down on the ground, left it, and then the animal jumps on the nemiya jumps on the ladder, and I'm not involved at all. No. So therefore, we've said in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi would admit that in the Reisha, he must maintain the distance of 4 amas. The Gemara asks, v'ha gromahu. And even so, it's not exactly the case of Giri Didei. He's not shooting the arrows. He's not taking the animal and throwing it onto the birds. He's holding a ladder. And as far as the person concerned, he's rather passive. He's just causing circumstances through which damage could result. But it's not active. That's the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara says, that may be, but Omar of Tuvi bar Matana Zois Aimeres Groma Benezikin Osir. Even though we might not penalize financially for Groma, nevertheless it's not allowed. So as when we set up the Mishnah of keep the Sulam at a distance of 4 amas, we can in effect be referring to a case where he's holding the Sulam. So as to bring Rabbi Yossi into the picture, that Rabbi Yossi is Moida Begiri Delay, where there's Gufo Shel Odom involved, even though the Odom himself, the person himself, is passive with regard to the ensuing damage, that doesn't give him license to do it. It's still forbidden. That's Groma Benezikin is Osir, even though there might not be financial penalty that goes along with it. That's a separate topic, the issue of financial penalty. Rashi makes a reference to the Sugi of Doyin Dino de Garmi, but we're not going to get into that. With that, we have concluded our shiur for today.